let you see one thing for yourself. But now you're off with someone else and I'm alone. See, I thought that I might keep you for my own. Amy, what you wanna do? I think I could stay with you for a while, maybe longer if I do. Don't you think the time is right for us to find all the things we thought weren't proper could be right in time? And can you see which way we should turn, together or alone? I can never see what's right or what is wrong. It takes too long to see. Amy, what you wanna do? I think I could stay with you for a while.
Things will be brighter. should I be? Is this the fate that half of the world's planned for me?
Hey, John, good evening.
Good evening to you.
Thank you so much, and happy almost turkey. Fresh turkey, that is.
I got a small bird, 10-pounder.
Oh.
So I could put it in the Masterbuilt electric smoker.
Oh, that's right. Do you have the vertical one?
Yeah.
That's the one I have. I use that primarily for fish and cheese.
That would be good.
Yeah, I only use it for fish and
cheese.
You
have the side smoker?
With the side box, or whether you put the thing you put the wood chips in the bottom on the, you push them in there?
Or yeah, no, you do that anyway, but I'm talking about the one that plugs into that slot.
Oh, yes. It has like a cold smoker. No, I don't have that, but what I do is I'll not turn the heat on at all. I make my own smoke box, basically. I don't have a smoke box, is the point. I just put smoke in there through...
it's the same thing.
Yeah, same thing, exactly. So, anyway, let me get here somewhere. Here. And then I use my other smoker. I'm going to make... I have about a 15-pound brisket.
Oh.
So, 15... I'm going to have to put it on tomorrow.
How does your brisket work? Talk about this on the show. People love talking about it.
Okay, brisket. Well, my brisket recipe is going to be in Runfeld. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. What happened there? Well, that's not good. Save this. I think that's good. Okay. So there. Okay, here we go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 25th. 11/25/25.
It is. And happy almost Thanksgiving. We were talking about this offline, about your 10-pound bird and your Masterbuilt and my bird and my briskets.
Yes, so. You cook brisket.
So a couple of things, a little disclaimer. I hate my Traeger. It's like...
Oh, hold on a second.
Yes.
This is what, when you first got the Traeger, I grilled you about it, saying...
Oh, you grilled me. Oh, you see what you just did there? You grilled
really
me.
Really has a pun in there. I understand that. But I made a fuss,
yes,
saying I don't like this kind of an idea,
yep,
because it has no creativity. It's just all it's like an automated thing. It's like a robot, and it's not going to give you the kind of results you're going to want, because there's no variation. You can't screw with it. You can't have some fun with it.
Well, the only thing is I have to. I am
you
forced
can't
to
become one with the machine.
Right, but I'm forced to because it's so bad. See, the problem is I bought it during COVID, and to be honest with you, I just never, you know, it still works, so I haven't gone back.
You were jacked up about this purchase. You talked about
it
on the show.
I was excited. But the problem is it's like a adult Barbie oven. It heats well with the wood, but the problem is the wood heats, it doesn't smoke. It doesn't smoke as well as it should. And I've called him several times about this, like, no. It's supposed to be a light blue smoke, very light. And I want smoke. And
yeah,
like,
you're not going to get smoke with
no. So what I have to do is, there is another model that has the super smoke mode that I think has a separate little compartment that just smokes the wood.
Like the Masterbuilt.
Yeah, versus using the wood for a heating element, What I do is I have two smoke tubes and a smoke maze, and I put in there wood chips, and on top of the wood chips, I put the pellets. I take a torch, I light them up, I let them cook for a minute, then I just put them in. They last about 2 hours. I put them into the smoker. That adds the first, you know, you don't need smoke the whole time. It's the first few hours you need the smoke.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can smoke the whole time and get some nice, some smoke that everyone bitches about.
Right, too much smoke. And so, my God, it tastes. Anyway, so.
You're killing me with this smoke.
So the only thing about the Traeger that I do like that I'm sure I can get on other devices is that it has a Wi-Fi app. So I could be sitting in Bora Bora, to be honest with you, monitoring my brisket.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps if I want to speed up the cook or slow down the cook, etc. So anyway, I'll put a little bit of French's mustard on the I'll defat it a little bit.
Well, first, how do you okay? You got to let's start. I don't want to kill the show by talking about how to cook a brisket, but it's one of the hardest things in the world.
Very difficult. Correct. Yeah.
And so go through the process. Where do you get the brisket? Has it got a lot of fat on it? We got 5 minutes max.
Okay, I got a 15 to 16 pound brisket from Restaurant Depot.
Has it got a lot of fat?
It has a good fat on the point and the flat. So on the point, underneath the point, the fat part of the brisket, there is a good amount of fat. Some fat you can keep because it will melt off and it helps
to... You're supposed to keep some fat.
Right. Some fat is just the hard fat that will never break down. So, you know, you look for that. You can break that down, take off some of the silver skin, clean it up a little bit. You don't have to do a major amount of work on it. Just take off the stuff that looks like it just is too much. The rest of it you can deal with after the fact. You know, if you want to just cut it off easily when it's all cooked, when it renders out. Then I take French's mustard and I slather the regular yellow mustard, slather the whole brisket. Why? It acts as a binder for the next step. I salt it with a medium, you can do a couple of medium kosher salt. The whole thing, you salt the whole thing. Mustard has a little bit of salt in it also. Mustard also has vinegar, which will help break down the meat. Then you put coarse ground pepper and garlic. That's Texas style right there, done. Let it sit, put it on a rack. Throw it in the.
You let it sit for how long?
Maybe you could let it sit for. I like it to warm up a little bit out of the refrigerator.
So you want
to
go in a room temperature?
Maybe an hour. You know, it depends on how much time you have to deal with this stuff. And you can put a good coating, by the way. Don't be shy. Don't be shy on what you're putting because the brisket's going to perspire, if you will. Right? It's gonna sweat, and some of that stuff's gonna get knocked off. So you want to make sure you have it on there. Plus, putting the salt on it helps to cure it a little bit and get into the meat. Okay. You put on the brisket. I put it on at about 180 degrees to start with a lot of smoke. The lower the temperature, more smoke helps get the smoke in there so it doesn't seal the outside. Think about if you put it into a high temperature, what happens? That outside becomes closed, right? The outside layer closes off because it gets cooked. You want to leave it on a low temperature. So about 2 hours, 3 hours, about 180. Then I jack it up to about 200 for about 3 hours. Then I go to about 225. When the internal temperature gets to 165 degrees inside of the, in between the point and the flat, so the flat is a thinner part, then it gets really fat at the end of the brisket, right in the middle there, right in between the two. When it gets to 165 degrees, and by the way, that takes a while because it stalls. You'll get a stall that could be like, it's never going to cook. And then it starts cooking again. Just somehow this is a magical thing. 165 degrees, I take it off. I put it in brown butcher paper.
Yeah, that's a key.
My secret is, on this, whatever, I put a little bit of Wagyu lard fat tallow, a couple of spoonfuls in there. I wrap it, like, you know, you put a lot of paper, so you fold it, turn the sides in, wrap it again, roll it. Then I put it on put it back on the fire until it gets to about 205 to 200 degrees, 210 degrees. Once it gets there, I take it out. I put it in a cooler, like an igloo or a cooler. I just let it sit for 2 hours or so. And then you take it out, and it is a fat-drenched, gravy, floppy, delicious brisket. And there you have it.
non-trivial.
Yeah, it is a little work. And then the whole time I'm panicking about whether it's the right temperature or not, so I can't sleep overnight. I'll put it on tomorrow night at about 11 o'clock.
So what's the total cooking time?
Probably 15 hours.
Yeah, okay.
So I've done it where I've gotten up at 3 in the morning and sat there drinking beers, just looking at the fire the whole time with people.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. You
know, that kind of thing. That's a little bit much.
Again, non-trivial.
Yeah, non-trivial. Well, let's talk about what's going on with the markets and refocus on DH Unplugged here. We have a short week this week. Markets are closed on Thursday for the celebration of Thanksgiving. And we have a short Friday. Markets closing at 1 p.m. on Friday. And just to let you know, it's a rule in the markets. You can't have a down week for Thanksgiving. Because, oh my God, too much table talk. Can you imagine? People go around the table for Thanksgiving miserable.
No, they already have enough trouble running the table.
Yeah, and you don't want the miserable thing where they start talking and everybody starts firing their brokers. You know, everybody, oh, who's your broker? Oh my God, I'm down. This and that. And then the other guy says, well, I'm not doing so bad. All right, I'm firing my guy, going to your guy. Get the whole family together, grousing and all pissed off. We have some news about recessions, or recession, I should say, in the U.S., and what the likelihood is. We take a look at Walmart and Target again. Target, your favorite Target, and something that you thought would have an opportunity some time ago. And to be honest with you, that stock and that company has just, ever since the big LBGT kerfuffle, it's just not good.
Yeah. Well, I'm still on track.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the company goes broke.
Right. Homeowners, we have mortgage reform. Very exciting discussion happening, and just how boneheaded it is.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yep. In the markets last week, rough week, one of the worst weeks in a long time. Things just kind of became unhinged. Bitcoin was just getting crazily beaten up. Possible sign of a little bit of bottoming going on right now with some oversold signals. NVIDIA, are they China bound? There's a discussion that President Trump may in fact allow the H200 chips, the high-end AI chips. That may not matter, though, with what's going on in some other areas. NVIDIA hasn't been able to catch its footing ever since it put out its earnings. Maybe a little bit of jumping the shark there. And we'll talk a little bit about the NASDAQ waiting. And then coming up this week on the Disciplined Investor podcast, we have Howard Silverblatt. He's the keeper of all the data for S&P Global Indices. And you can ask him like any data point and he'll just like rattle it off. He's unbelievable.
One of those guys.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, so tell me how the bottom third of the healthcare sector EPS without the depreciation allowance is doing. Well, that's up 3% for the, that kind of thing. It's like, oh, okay. So, all right, what do we have? We saw some numbers. We saw some of the first official numbers come out on inflation since the government shutdown. Still, we're behind on a lot of this data, and some of this data will never be released, just never. So now, inflation's still up there, 3% on a PPI on a year-over-year. But yet, there was this turn, which I have a couple pieces on here on this, but last week or so, there was a discussion 2 weeks ago and last week by the Fed and Powell saying, you know what, hey, December's definitely not it's not a definite thing. And a lot of Fed speakers were very hawkish. And we dropped down to like a 30% chance of is that you in the picture right there on the microphone? You got the camera on. Look at you. Hello. I didn't see that before. Look at you. Hey, John.
Oh, hey.
No, you're off. Thanks. Doom. Jeez. I haven't seen your face in a while, to be honest with you.
That's not much different.
Yeah, no. Looking good, though, sir. The threw me off so badly here. I'm just like, I'm stunned.
Got you rattled.
So the Fed guys were out, saying no, and the inflation, the chance of a
didn't that turn around today?
Yeah, so the last 2 days there was a 30% chance last week of a rate cut in December. One of the reasons that was is because all the data is going to be coming out after the fact. They'd be like, well, they're not going to make a decision without any data. They're data dependent. Well, all of a sudden, all the Fed speakers started coming out and talking about how there's a good chance of it now. All of a sudden, they just like turned around. 80% chance of a rate hike, a rate cut in December now, which is all but done.
Well, if things keep just flip-flopping that quickly, maybe it'd go to a 0.5.
Well, they kind of, if they drop, let me tell you something. If they drop by 0.25, it will be 0.5. Let me explain. If they drop the Fed funds rates by 0.25%, that's in the books. We know that answer. That's right there, right? Now, the other thing they're doing is they are discontinuing quantitative tightening by no longer allowing for the bonds that mature that they hold to roll off. They're going to rebuy them. We're going into a quantitative easing cycle now, okay? That being the case, by all accounts, what they're going to do is equivalent to another 25 basis points cut. Put them together, you get 50 basis points.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Interesting.
There you go with 50. So now, in light of all the things that are happening and the higher prices and all.
Jack something up.
Yep. Now, meanwhile, President Trump on Friday officially rolled back the tariffs on more than 200 food products, including coffee, beef, bananas, orange juice. So that's kind of something I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah,
right there.
You complained about this as some sort of a... flim-flam idea last show, saying if the tariffs don't make a difference, why would you do this?
But oranges, acai berries, paprika, cocoa, chemicals used in food production. You see that little chart there that's sitting there, little link? Forget about that. I don't know how they got in there. That's the quantum stocks from a couple of weeks ago, or for a few, whatever it was. Actually, that's interesting. I look at this. This is actually a few months ago. Rigetti Computing was $6.58 then. It's like $28 now. Wow, look at that. D-Wade, look at those numbers. Wow. Boy, what should have bought those? Those came back pretty strong. But there's some good news. There's some good news. No recession risk. Treasury Secretary.
Yeah.
Yep, none. It's not. It's not happening.
There you go.
Bessent, Secretary of Treasury Bessent said inflation due to services economy, not the tariffs. So it's the service economy. You know, what's service economy? It's software development, cloud services, tourism, restaurants, hospitality, banking, insurance, and professional services like law, accounting, and consulting. What do you think about that?
I'm not even sure what this means. I can tell you one thing. The restaurant service business is terrible.
Yeah, but the prices are up. The service may be terrible, but the prices are up.
The prices are up. The service is down. The food's not as good. It's like everything is bad in the restaurant business. Too expensive. In California, it's worse than it is anyplace else because they have all these additional fees now. They have all kinds of...
What kind of fees?
The health department fee for making sure the place is clean. A little dipshit fee here and there. There's one after another. There's like five or six fees in different restaurants. And then they may have an automatic tip, which means you have to tip more.
You tip on the fees probably too, the way they do it, things.
Yeah, probably. I know that you shouldn't be tipping on wine, but they do that too.
Well, tipping on wine, but not on full bottle. That's what you're saying? If somebody pours you a glass of wine, you don't put that into the calculus?
That would be fine.
Okay. But if they bring out a three...
Because that's service, and that's included in the overall service. But a $200 bottle of wine at a $50 meal, it's like the tip would be, let's say it's 20%. It's either going to be, if for a $50 meal, you have to, you know, you cough up $10. But now it's a $250 meal, and you got to cough up $50, and the only difference is that you're getting a bottle of wine? No.
Like, is it so much different to bring a bottle of wine than it is to bring a hamburger?
Well, I'm saying buying the wine from them.
Right.
Yeah, if you bring your own wine, you can do that. But then you could pay.
Of course.
Typically they charge you 10 to 25 bucks if you bring your own bottle.
Right. So Bessette says the administration is working to lower prices where it can, but it is definitely not tariffs. Let's be clear. Now, if you want things to get any better and you want rates lower, let's get somebody in there right now. Supposedly, this is the leak. There's two different things happening. One, Cal Patel is going to be fired as FBI director, but that was discharged as not true. I can tell you from Trump 1.0, as soon as we hear these rumors, you know what? It's true.
Well, he threatened to fire Bessent.
He did last week if he wouldn't lower rates. Remember that?
Yeah.
Or he wouldn't force the Fed to lower rates or whatever.
Somehow he's got to go in there with a handgun and put Powell aside, put the gun to his head and tell him, hey, lower rates.
Yeah.
And that was implied.
Mm-hmm. About now, the latest thing, we saw two pieces of news today on personnel changes. One is the potential for Cal Patel to be fired. And the other one, which Cal Patel can be rather abrasive. I'm not saying he's not effective, but he can be abrasive. So maybe
Cash.
What did Cash Patel, yeah. So the other one is the potential for NEC, the National Economic Council, director Kevin Hassett. You know who he is?
Yeah.
He's a guy that has a size 16 neck but wears size 19 collars. And has like a kind of a very rounded head. He kind of, in a way, could be.
He's been around forever in politics.
He could be Janet Yellen's kid the way he looks. He could be son of Yellen. But they're talking about him as the front runner for the Fed chair position. And he's a good soldier. You know?
Yeah, he probably do. Well, of course, you know, Trump thought Christopher Wray was going to be a good soldier, and he thought he's the one who put Powell in. I mean, come on.
You don't want good soldiers. You want people. Well, that's another whole discussion. We'll forget about that. We get some weird news.
You want somebody that's locked into your policy and maybe knows it better than you and maybe likes it better than you.
But as long as the policy is sound.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. So, buried in the NVIDIA earnings report, remember back in September, there was a variety of companies announcing a massive partnership that would include a $100 billion investment over time by NVIDIA and OpenAI, right?
Yeah.
In the quarterly financial filing, they said there's no guarantee that the company will finalize an agreement with OpenAI. Now, hold on. Stop tape. We were all led to believe that there was going to be an investment of $100 billion over a period of time in OpenAI. So now all of a sudden, those announcements that they make are just possibilities?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this kind
shouldn't
of...
By the way, shouldn't that be good news?
It should be good news. It also should be bordering on illegal.
I always look at some of these things as test marketing, which is totally legal. That includes announcing products that you never deliver.
Do you think trial balloons with a publicly traded company that can have the potential to move a stock? Isn't that the equivalent of 420 secured by Elon Musk?
I'm just telling you, I've seen in the past, it's very common to see people announce products and never deliver. As it does move the stock, but it's totally legal. It's just called test marketing. There's no reason you can't do that, whether you're publicly held or private.
I suppose. Good point. But I want to let you know where we are with this, and we've been tracking, I call it the poster child of this circular financing and vendor financing deal. Oracle, which was 216 on the day, let's call it 220. 220 on the day that this their earnings, their blockbuster earnings were announced, and the OpenAI deal for $300 billion over 5 years, 8 years, whatever it was. And the stock went from 220 to what, 340 or something like that?
That's some ridiculous.
197 thing. Today.
Yeah, sounds right. That's where it should, it could be lower.
197 though, after.
Yeah, I know, what a nice short that was.
What a nice short. I mean, that would have been hard to do because all the news was positive, which is, I think there's a great lesson in there too.
Just by puts?
Yeah, exactly. Would have made a bundle on that. Just because everything looks good right at the moment, and companies, companies aren't going to come out and tell you anything really negative. The people that would be doing those announcements own a ton of the stock. They're just not going to do it. I can tell you, I know for a fact that the manipulation that goes on in the management level with regard to, well, not only manipulation, but they bring in people to help properly state the information. During conference calls, they're watching the stock and there are people monitoring it, changing the direction of the conversation if the stock's not reacting properly.
Well, that's interesting.
That makes all the sense in the world, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's what I do.
I still think Powell has an earpiece in. When he's talking, saying, no, markets don't like that. No, go the other way. Give another on the other hand.
It could be.
Yeah. So the question is if these kinds of things can happen, whereas a NVIDIA can say they're going to be providing this funding, but really it's nothing more than not even an agreement. It's pie in the sky. Is all of this hot air? And that's, I think, what's happening with regard to why there's so much skepticism right now around all this. Markets were up handsomely today, handsomely yesterday. You know, yeah. NVIDIA's just down again.
Yeah, I'm putting it on the game.
Yeah. Google stealing a thunderlight. We got some of that. So here we go. President Donald Trump is now on Friday. You know, NVIDIA was really weak for a few days. All of a sudden, Friday afternoon at like 3. Why do it? Why do it any other time but 3 o'clock on a Friday? Yeah. When you have 1 hour to go on the stock market and, you know, nothing else to do. Well, there's an announcement that Donald Trump, President Trump, is going to make a final decision of whether to allow NVIDIA to sell advanced artificial intelligence chips to China. So this is a big issue because Howard Lutnick, the man that says that President Trump will win everything because he knows everything and he's right about everything and he's the best person in the world and he wants to marry him or whatever the story exactly is with him. But the thing is that he loves him. And the decision, he said, involves weighing the promotion of economic expansion against protecting national security. Wait a second. So we're talking about money versus national security? Now, you can make the case that money is national security, right? There's something about that?
Yeah, and we can also make the case that it's not national security at all.
Right. That was used as a, what would you call that? Just a red herring?
I don't know. I thought it was weird.
The other thing, I've talked to people in the industry. I had a conversation over the weekend. People very, very much involved in the sales of chips, AI, all this from some of the big companies. And we talked about that this idea of allowing them is actually good for national security. I said, okay, I'm all ears. What's the story? They made the argument that by not giving it to them, they're going to come up with it anyway. It's going to force them to do other things.
Go in their own direction and outflank us.
Exactly. Which,
unfortunately, of course, the Chinese haven't got the capability. They haven't been able to do that with a jet. They haven't been able to do it with armaments, stuff that's truly national security. And so they probably won't.
However, they have a history of outsmarting us on the economics. And doing some good work to checkmate us. It is interesting that they'll probably get chips.
The good work they did is called overproduction.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're absolutely fabulous at that. And old-fashioned, the old-fashioned industrialism is still alive and well there as opposed to what we have because we outsourced everything. We brought that on ourselves.
Yeah, and they do dumping.
We say they outflanked us. I don't know if they outflanked us or we outsmarted ourselves.
Yeah, we're too clever by half on some of this.
Well, that's a phrase.
Yeah. So What's interesting though is the idea is that they're going to get the stuff anyway from what we'll call black market or
yeah, that's probably true
around the side. You know, a little handoff around the side. So I don't know. That's interesting. The other thing is that happened with NVIDIA. More stuff here. There was a memo that they issued to CNBC. It said that this is from NVIDIA. And the company said, quote, we are not aware of any claims that NVIDIA has improperly capitalized operating expenses. Several commentators allege that customers have overstated earnings by extending GPU depreciation schedules beyond economic useful life. Now, what's really interesting about this is what the whole argument has been from Michael Burry and all these other guys, that there's a lot of real hanky-panky economics going on between the circular financing, vendor financing, and depreciation of this and earnings being gooshed by some of this with the spend. What's interesting is a company, the number one company in size in the world, the usual response was, our company takes the position that we do not respond to allegations that are, you know, unproven. You know what I'm saying? They would say, they're coming. Why are they coming out and saying this? What is?
I have some thoughts on this based on what my son used to work at NVIDIA.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And he's still apparently, I don't know, you know, you get the, your buddies or something, you talk about stuff. The thinking is that what in that within that sentence it was in there it's kind of like a recycle time or the refresh time. It was in the statement that was made, which you read. It talks about it. The recycle or the refresh time is not the same as it people think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as long as they think it's going to be. And the word is that the real problem up ahead is that the refresh time for these data centers, instead of being 3 or 4 years where you have to replace everything, it's 2 years. And that's going to cause the collapse because people are not, they won't take anybody serious about the fact that these chips and the systems are not, they're moving at such a rate of improvement that they're useless in 2 years, and they start to fail. It's also very this is a big deal, and so the people that are on the hook for the data centers, which includes a lot of big investors and a lot of private equity, are the ones that are going to get killed.
Do we have an
and that accounts for the? There's one company, CoreFlex or CoreSub. I can't remember.
CoreWeave.
That company is the. According to all the people that are talking about this stuff, that is the canary in the coal mine.
That is true. And there was a discussion about how they only have a few customers, very much concentrated. They're, you know, the problem they're going to have is the refresh that they're going to have is problematic. Is this also a Osborne effect potential candidate?
Well, that's an interesting. I'd have to think about that. I don't think so. Because the Osborne effect was when, for people out there who haven't heard of this old idea, which I wrote about, which actually predates Osborne. The North Star people had this happen to them, where you pre-announce a product and everyone says, "Well, hell, I'll just wait till that comes out. I'm putting off my purchases," and so the company collapses. Now. That had been that problem, which nobody uses the term anymore. That problem has been corrected by other companies. I can't give you specific examples, but there's quite a few of them where the company now can do the pre-announcement and say, "We're going to do this. You don't have to stop your buying because whatever you buy will credit you that purchase and then give you the future product for free." So in other words, you're already buying the future, so you don't get screwed. So the company doesn't go broke because everyone stops buying.
Yeah, Windows 11 as an example.
Is that well? Maybe
no. Yeah, when we said, you know, if you have Windows 10, you can get Windows 11. So just keep on buying.
It's something like that, but in hardware, it's a little more meaningful because of the overhead of manufacturing as opposed to software.
Yeah.
So the Osborne effect is pretty much dead in the water because people have learned a workaround. But no, I don't think so. I think this is something else.
We have some earnings from HP. HP came out and beat by one penny. Reports inline revenues. Guys, first quarter EPS in line. Guys, EPS on fiscal year below consensus. Increases the dividend. Listen to this. Increases the dividend, which means they're probably going to have a stock buyback. Announces a company-wide initiative, which is to whack 6,000 jobs. 6,000. Stock down 6% after hours. Amazon's still spending. They made a big announcement. They're going to spend as much as $50 billion expanding its capacity to provide artificial intelligence, the AI intelligence, and high-performance computing services to the U.S. government entities, which, by the way, I like as a shareholder because government entities overpay for things, and when they commit to stuff, usually they'll pay.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Amazon Web Services planning to break ground next year. What will be a 1.3 gigawatt of additional capacity across data centers? Again, remember, no longer are they quoting compute, but rather power. That's how they just, when you see, well, how much are you going to be able to do? Well, we're going to have a 1.3 gigawatt center.
Yes, it's a very interesting switch.
Yep. And so that's pretty cool for them. And then this I found to be probably the most fascinating thing that happened. So early days, roll the cameras back. Early days, AI. AI announcement, ChatGPT. I'm like, oh my God, Google's dead. Didn't we all think that at first?
I did, but I didn't. I kind of did, but I was at the same time watching all these TV guys going on and on about how Alphabet has this and that and the other thing going on in the background. And then I also heard during that era of Google's dead, because search is dead, that Google makes most of their money off of services and data. So
they have the head start on the LLM to begin with, because they have all this search.
Basically,
stuff.
Yeah. Yes, that's a good point. I didn't even consider that.
That was a big thing that I really didn't put into play here. And then to figure out how they're going to monetize some of this, they'll figure it out. Well, first of all, let's now take this to another point and then bring it all the way back. Berkshire Hathaway revealed a $4.3 billion stake in Google parent Alphabet and further reduced its stake in Apple. This happened, I don't know, 2 weeks ago? Week and a half ago? Google has been on a absolute tear.
Yeah, I want to put it on the game as a momentum
play. Oh, my, momentum game. It literally, I think, you know what? I want to tell you something. Check this out. What is the market cap on Google? Market cap on Google is $3.9 trillion. What's the market cap on NVIDIA? $4.32 trillion. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, who was the second? It was Apple was the second, right? Let's see. Apple's $4.09 trillion. They're about to take over, get to the point, if Apple stalls a little bit here, of taking over, second position and on its way to potentially overtake NVIDIA.
Yeah. Well, they have a lot of potential. I mean, besides the fact that I have mixed feelings about this chip they've got, because there's a lot of flim-flamming going on with Google. They have also Waymo, I think, is owned by Google,
yep,
isn't it?
Yep.
And they just rolled out the permission to have Waymo in the East Bay where I am, all the way to Sacramento. And these things are all over San Francisco. They've completely wiped out the cabs, and they've wiped out Uber. Uber's an interesting play here because Waymo, where Waymo comes in with their automatic cars, it's cheaper than Uber, and women like it better because there's been too many reports of, attacks. And you got this, crazy driver and who knows what. So Uber's got going to have some problems down the road. To have a second pun for the day.
Well, yeah. What's interesting is that while you may have some concern about the chips, another announcement happened. Meta Platforms, you know, Facebook is in talks to spend billions of dollars now on Google's AI chips, which just pushed it even higher. The processors are called TPUs, Tensor Processing Units. They're going to use them in data centers.
It's an ASIC that they've named a TPU. I mean, it's a application specific integrated circuit. It's an old fashioned chip that's been around forever. That is, it's almost like a programmable chip, and it's not a breakthrough. It's nothing like NVIDIA's architectures, but okay.
And they're gonna start renting it from Google's cloud division next year. Really, here's the thing about all this. Who are the people that picked up that stake at Google recently with all that was going on? At a time when all these announcements were being made, the new Gemini came out to much acclaim. Big spend by Meta on them and great earnings. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a great move by Berkshire. Proving that the heir to the throne is doing pretty good when it comes to the buys.
Yeah, it seems so.
The NASDAQ...
They've always been traditionally kind of tech skeptical.
Right. Well, for the longest time, Warren Buffett would not buy any tech because he didn't understand it.
Just thought it was bogus.
Yeah, when Apple came out with their what they did, and then when Berkshire bought it, they started doing dividends and buybacks. That was big because don't forget, they love the buybacks and the financial engineering. Berkshire loves that. They love a company that basically makes their money from a good amount of their companies are consumer oriented, and many of them where he made his first amount of money was basically where they were just killing the consumer with all sorts of cost factors like insurance companies and banks. That's what Berkshire made his money on. The kind old grandpa, not he. Smart fellow. Yeah. Smart fellow, he and Charlie. The NASDAQ 100, I was looking at it. I'm questioning whether it's even investable anymore. The top 10 stocks are over 70% weighting in the NASDAQ 100. That's absurd. And the S&P, and the S&P is 38%.
Balanced, that's for sure.
Yeah, 38% in the S&P 500. I talked about that. I just recorded that this week early because of Thanksgiving with Howard Silverblatt. Hey, by the way, are you Thursday? Are you doing No Agenda with Adam Curry on Thursday? The show that you do on Thursdays and Sundays at 2 p.m. But Thursday is Thanksgiving. Doesn't that kind of interfere with Thanksgiving?
It does, but our tradition has been to work on the holidays. And we're working this Thanksgiving like we do every other. And there's a lot of people that, maybe have a late Thanksgiving or they have a different, or they're international or they don't go to Thanksgiving or they don't have to, they can still listen to the show. Unless you eat at 2 in the afternoon, some people do. And it's still a podcast that you can download. So yes, we work on holidays. The 2017 Thanksgiving is the only Thanksgiving we did not work on.
The 2020 Thanksgiving, we all got together. Do you remember that? We did a Zoom call. Yes, we did a Zoom call.
Oh, the Zoom call at the house. Yeah, yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, we did a Zoom. Your family was at your house. My family was at our house. And Adam was at his house. And we did this really awkward.
Yeah, it was awkward and lame. Yeah, we haven't done it since.
It was very awkward and lame. Like,
I don't even know whose idea that was. Probably yours.
It was not mine. That is not something that I would come up. I think it was Adam's, actually. I think Adam and Tina came up with that idea. And but it was nice seeing your whole family because I know, I've heard of them. I've talked with them. I've spoken with Jay before, of course, and all, and Mimi, of course. But it was nice to have done that. But never again.
Yeah, it interrupted the flow.
It did. Here is something interesting. I got this from FactSet. Something probably that most don't want you to know. The Magnificent Seven companies reported their lowest earnings growth since quarter one of 2023. So stock market a lot higher since then. They're still earning. They're still doing well, but their lowest earnings since 2023. And all the third quarter is done. We did actual earnings growth of 18.4% for the third quarter. Still very respectable. But that's average. That is below the average growth rate of 28% for the previous four quarters. Now, 28%, you can't hold on to that forever. You can't.
So what's the earnings per? What's the price earnings ratio with these?
Probably 20,
22, 24.
No, these guys probably higher than that. Probably.
Well, with this kind of growth at 18%, it's too high.
Right.
Stocks are overpriced.
Correct. Yep. I would agree. Quick point. For all of you that have very graciously donated to the Thanksgiving DH Unplugged, what do we want to call it?
Drive.
The drive. We had a drive. Thank you.
Which consisted of a note.
Yeah, we sent out a note. And for all of you, which was many of you,
and who's
thank
not
you.
On the mailing list? People have got to get on the mailing list. You only send out two notes a year or so.
Yep, and it's very easy to get on. Just go over to the website, dhunplugged.com, and you can actually register as a user. You'll get on it automatically that way, or there's different ways to do it. So any problems you have, just, you know, get in touch with us somehow. But we'll get you on there. And if you haven't, you can go over to the website right now, this moment, in advance of Thanksgiving. If nothing else, quick payment for the brisket recipe. That's reasonable.
By the way, I would say I know all the ways of cooking brisket, and I would say that recipe is worth its weight in a donation.
Yes, it's perfect. So go over to DH Unplugged.
Actually, that recipe sounds like it would work perfectly.
Yep. Step by step, pretty good. So well, we thank you in advance.
The problem with brisket is if you don't cook it right, as described, it's not juicy. And if it's not juicy, it's no good.
Right. Mine, if you literally cut it, it will just start oozing.
Yeah, water should start, or just come kind right of out. A light fat should yep. start coming just out.
Starts coming
like
out.
A lot of it.
Yeah, a lot of it. Bitcoin, the iShares Bitcoin Trust had $2.2 billion in net outflows in November, according to the Wall Street Journal, which was also a big month for losses in crypto. Not much supporting by the White House. Interesting. I looked at this coincidentally. The selling kind of really started, picked up dramatically with the pardoning of Changpeng Zhao, which is the convicted founder of Binance.
Yeah.
I don't know if the crypto universe, the crypto bros, got upset about that, saying,
well, maybe
hey,
that guy got out of jail, so he knew what levers to pull, so he could get his ass out of there.
Oh, maybe he got out, and then he sold all his holdings.
That's possible
to pay off the people that pardoned him. No, I'm just saying, kidding.
Well, yeah, well.
Now you remember? You remember?
I don't really see that kind of thing happening.
Yeah, you remember Doge?
Of course, Doge is still around.
No,
still trades.
No, not Dogecoin. Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency.
Oh, yeah, Doge, yeah. It's not technically around. But
disbanded.
The guys are still working.
Disbanded 8 months ahead of schedule.
Well, they were supposed to disband in July, weren't they?
July of 2026.
Oh, okay.
So Doge is claimed to have slashed tens of billions of dollars in expenditures. It was supposed to be, $2 trillion?
Yeah, $2 trillion. Where's our $2
trillion? Not $2 trillion, tens of billions of dollars, but impossible for outside financial experts to verify because the unit didn't provide detailed public accounting of its work. What? How does that work? You have a Department of Government Efficiency that's supposed to be like...
It's all about efficiency, and you can't even be efficient yourself.
And then it's like, what's that position? It's... General, there's a position in local state governments, counties, things like that, cities.
Attorney General.
Yeah, not the Attorney General. There's something else.
Oh, you're thinking about...
Oh, the Inspector General.
Inspector General. He's supposed to do that.
That's what these guys were. Yeah. It's basically the inspector general making sure that the government wasn't getting ripped off. And that person's got to be above, you know, you can't be fired. I have a client that was actually the inspector general of Miami. And I remember when he was in the position. He told me, no, I took this position. I can't be fired. It can't be this because you can't be corrupted because they have to be above everybody else in terms of overseeing, making sure that, you know, anything that's weird is not going to get through.
Yeah, it gets through anyway. Look at what's going on in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, it gets through. Now they many places decide not to have an inspector general because they don't want to find out what's going on. Let's go to Walmart. We got to go through these rest of these things really fast. Walmart raised its sales and earnings outlook last week as the retailer posted revenue gains in the fiscal third quarter, driven by double-digit e-commerce growth and new customers across all the incomes. That was important for them to say that, you know, every income. So stock went vertical, much different than Target. Walmart is up 16% year-to-date. Target, you want to take a guess?
Down 16%.
Target is down 37%. I wrote up, but it's down 37%. Okay. Let me look. I want to make sure I'm right about TGC.
When will they fix it?
Yeah, let me make sure I'm right about this.
There's absolutely nothing that...
Yeah, down 37%.
It's beyond me.
That's a big disparity of similar stores.
Going the route of JCPenney's. There's no stopping it.
Have you been to a Target, though? Have you gone?
Yeah, I went a few weeks back. Here's the problem I have. It's not a lively place anymore. It's kind of dour.
Mm.
It's depressing. And they had this period of time when they had the previous guy who ran the place. He brought in all these designers, these famous designers, and they would design toasters and blenders and clothes. And one of the problems is their clothes guy, the main clothes guy, is the guy who got caught up in the scandal about paying to get into colleges. This Moschino guy, however you pronounce his name, he was a designer who designed for the public, but he was.